Isaiah chapter 41, we're going to read a few verses in just a moment, beginning in verse 8. And I want to say this before we read. And there are a lot of things about the Christian life that as you go along, I find surprising. And one of the things, my wife's heard me say this more than a few times, but one of the things that I have been surprised by is no matter how long we serve the Lord and how long we try to do God's will, we still need to be encouraged. You know, as a youngster, I thought, you know, and I'm kind of young still, I know, but as a youngster, I thought, you know, when I get older down the road and, you know, more experience, you know, I won't have to deal with discouragement and things of that nature. But the truth of the matter is, the devil's always trying to discourage us about the work of God, and these are trying times. And when I look in this passage today, as I've looked over it, I've found encouragement from my own heart, and I trust you will this evening. I'd invite you to stand with us, if you're able to stand, for the reading of the Scripture, and then we'll pray. Isaiah chapter 41, beginning in verse 8, the Word of God says, "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, Thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. They that seek them, or thou shalt seek them, and shall not find them, even them that contended with thee." That's good, isn't it? "They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and you men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains, and beat them small, and shall make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shall glory in the Holy One of Israel." Great promises for Israel and for Jacob in our text. I want to focus tonight and begin to think about a phrase that's found in verse 14. It says, "Fear not, thou worm Jacob." And I want to speak to you on this subject, thou worm. That's a real glamorous thing for someone to call you, isn't it? A worm. I mean, think about it. Just think about how ego-inflating it is. God's speaking to his own people. He calls them, Israel and Jacob, a worm. You know, God could have called him a lot of things. And many years ago, I was looking at this passage and thinking about, you know, what God must have had in mind in referring to his people, the apple of his eye, as a worm. And so I want us to think about that together tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. How we thank you, Lord, for preserving for us the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. That, Lord, we can read it and believe every word in it, that we can trust you. Lord, not only that you've recorded the words and kept them for us, but that, Lord, you take them and use them to encourage us and lighten our path and strengthen us. And we pray that tonight that would be the case. Lord, we ask you tonight to help us to just draw strength from you, from your truth. We thank you for how we've been encouraged tonight by the music, by the two specials. Lord, we thank you that our Savior is risen. We thank you, Lord, that for faithful people who stand by the men of God as we were encouraged tonight. And please, we ask you to continue to bless in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You know, I'm confident that when God puts things like this in the Bible, he puts them there for a reason. Why would God call his people a worm? And I think when we look at the context, you know, we realize he doesn't do that to be condescending. He doesn't do it, you know, to be discouraging or demeaning to them. But God uses words for a purpose. For instance, when God called the Pharisees vipers, he did that for a reason. Because they're dangerous. Because their venom is poisonous. And so God used that terminology to help them understand the danger of the Pharisees. When God calls Satan a lion, like a roaring lion, it's because he's intimidating, because he creates and provokes fear in people's lives. He called Herod a fox. And so what I'm saying is I believe that God has reasons for these, and I believe the purpose in God calling them a worm is to just put them in touch, really, with their own vulnerability, with their own inability, with their own need for God. I mean, what could you think of as a more needy creature than a worm? A pretty needy creature. How insignificant. I mean, how really insignificant, overlooked, unappreciated. You'd be hard-pressed to find anything more unappreciated, unnoticed than a worm. And yet God called them. We're encouraged in the fact that God dealt with them in this way. Now, I know that we're not Israel, but I do know this, that God tells us in his word that all these things happened to them for ensamples to us, that by them we might be admonished. And so I want us to think about that tonight, because I see a pattern here. I see an example of how God deals with us. And Israel was that way. God called them. God redeemed them. God separated them. God chastened them. God rewarded them. They could have great exploits and great victories, and they could plunge, you know, to every kind of disappointment and failure we could imagine. And all of their success was based on one thing, their relationship to God. You know, as long as God was working for them, if God was fighting for them, then God would give great victory. And so I see in that a picture of their own inadequacy. And I see the same thing in our life. It's a reminder to us. I mean, what better way to describe a people who needed God, people who are weak? I want to say to you tonight that our problems in the Christian life have nothing to do with our not being able to do and perform and obey God. It has to do with sometimes we think we can do it without God. Right. I mean, we're never more able than when we're depending upon God. We'll never reach our potential until we really realize our weakness and our inadequacies. I went across an interesting quote from Charles Spurgeon many years ago. He says this: the first qualification for serving God with any amount of success and for doing God's work well and triumphantly is a sense of our own weakness. I mean, the first qualification is a sense of our own weakness. And that term, thou worm, reminds us of our own weakness, our own incapability. And hold your finger there in Isaiah, if you would, because we're going to come back to that in a moment. But I want to look at a couple of other passages, and that's one would be found in Job. In Job chapter 25, if you turn to the left there, past Psalms and into Job. Job chapter 25 and verse 4, we have a couple of questions. We have, how then, Job 25:4, how then can a man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not. In verse 5, yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man that is a worm, and the son of man, which is a worm. I mean, here he speaks in verse 5 about the majestic creation, about the moon, about the stars, and then he compares that with man. He says that is a worm, with the son of man, which is as a worm. I mean, imagine how small we are compared to the moon. Imagine how small we are compared to the stars. Don't you just love to stand out on a cold night and a clear clear skies and just look at the creation of God and behold His might and majesty and think about the might of that those stars and how many they are and how far they away and how they illumine the sky and think about how small we are compared to that. Go with me a little further to the right, if you would, there from the book of Psalms. Let's look for a moment in Psalms 22. You know, a person could say, and I could imagine a person saying this, well, I don't like the idea of being called a worm. Matter of fact, I would venture to say in this culture, in this society, there'll be a lot of people that say, well, I'm too good to be a worm. Psalm 22 in verse 1, we have this great passage, and you'll know who it's speaking of. In verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This Psalm of David, who of course is the Lord, is the psalmist referring to here. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and the words that Jesus would say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? If you look down in verse 16, of course, the last part of the verse, it says, they pierce my hands and my feet. In verse 18, it says, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. All these verses talking about fulfilled prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in verse 6, where he says, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. You know, that's what a worm is. A worm is reproached. A worm is despised of the people. And there, that's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, how he was looked upon by others, how he was reproached by others, how others did not appreciate him, did not see value in him. And he says, I am a worm. I'm like a worm and no man. So I'm telling you, if Jesus could be called a worm, I don't think it's too awful bad a thing to be called. Amen. I tell you, we're like worms. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote such that sacred head for such a worm as I? I'm going to tell you, that's really what we are. We really are. We're worms. And that's what God said about Israel and Judah, and I believe that's what we ought to say about ourselves. And that puts us in touch with how worthless we are without God. How independent we are without God. How absolutely helpless we are without God. You know, there are a lot of things that God has made, a lot of creatures, a lot of animals, even birds. Someone cautioned me about walking at the park today, the other day, because of the danger of the birds. The geese chase you. I mean, a lot of things can be fearful. But I've never been afraid of a worm. Unless I mistake him for a snake. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 40, chapter 41. Fear not, verse 14 says, thou worm Jacob. I want us to think tonight, as we look at this passage, about some promises that God gives to worms. Look in verse 8, if you would, first of all. It says, but thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob. He's speaking to these worms whom I've chosen. The seed of Abraham, my friend. May I say, first of all, that God chooses worms. Thou Jacob, whom I have chosen. God chooses worms. See, God doesn't just choose people because they have their act together. God doesn't just choose people because they can do it on their own. God chooses people who need Him. God uses people and calls people who need Him. Look what it says in verse 9. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee. God chooses worms. He calls worms. I've called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. God chooses worms. God calls worms. Aren't you glad about that? Yes, sir. I'm glad about it. God calls worms. First of all, he calls them to salvation. No one ever got saved thinking they didn't need it. No one ever got saved thinking they could manage on their own. People get, you know, our theme for this year at our church is throw out the lifeline. And we've got a graphic about that. And it shows this life preserver going through the air on this boat. But, you know, a lot of people in life are drowning, but they don't know it. And they're drowning and they don't care. But I want to tell you, nobody ever got saved without realizing, you know, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. And God saves, God calls people who recognize that they need it. Like worms, we need the Lord's help. And you may be here tonight and you're not saved. And I want to tell you tonight, it's not difficult to get saved. It's impossible to get saved on your own. Right. You know, but with Jesus Christ, all things are possible. Amen. You'll never get good enough. You'll never earn it. You never work your way toward it. The only way to get saved is to recognize I have no hope, no help, no ability, and you trust in Christ alone for salvation. God calls worms. God chooses worms. He calls worms to salvation, but he also calls worms to serve him. Look in verse 8, but thou Israel art my servant. Look in verse 10, he says, fear thou not, for I'm with thee. Be not dismayed, for I'm thy God. I will strengthen thee. God promises to help and to call worms. Look in verse 9, the last part of verse 9. He says, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. God calls people. God chooses worms to serve him. Imagine that. Now, I want to tell you, there are a lot of things I'm amazed at tonight. And one of them is that God would even care about me. I mean, who is man that thou art mindful of him? I mean, that God would care about me. Why would God care about me? Why would God save me? Why would God send his son to die for me? But then the fact that God would not only save us, but he'd let us serve him. I'm amazed at that. Yes, I mean, it's been a long, long time since we started down this road, and I'm still amazed. I'm telling you before God, I'm as amazed today that God would let me serve him as I ever have been in my life. But God chooses worms to serve him. There's a passage. You're familiar with it, and I'm not going to give you time to turn to it, but I want to read it to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It says to the Corinthians, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh could glory in his presence. God chooses weak people. God chooses base things. God chooses despised people. God chooses worms. God chooses worms. God's choosing is not based on our intellect. It's not based on our popularity. It's not based on our wealth. It's not based on our personality, our charisma. It's not based on our oratory skills. I'll tell you, God chooses worms. Aren't you glad about that? I'm telling you, I'm glad. While I'm reading this passage, I'm thinking back over the years and how God would reach down into our life and give us a place to serve him. It's an absolutely amazing thing to me tonight that God would call us to salvation and God would choose us to serve him. You know, we look at people sometimes and we try to measure, you know, the possibilities in their life. I was showing Mrs. Irby tonight a picture I have on my phone of my wife and I. Long story, and I'll make it real short. We took a few days off before we came here, and we took with us boxes and boxes of old photographs. And to organize them, you know what I'm saying, sort them out and get them on a digital thing. And so I know some of you young people don't realize it, but used to they took pictures and they actually had substance. You could look at them and touch them. I know that seems kind of archaic, but it really did happen. And I showed Mrs. Irby a picture I have on my phone when I was about the time I got saved and had long hair and beard, and I'm ashamed of the way I looked. But I'm telling you, God didn't see me the way I saw myself and the way other people saw me. God sees potential in people's lives. And you could be sitting here tonight, young person, older. You could say, well, I'm too old. God couldn't use me. I'm not that good a reader. You know, I don't have that great a personality. I'm more of an introvert. I'm not that gregarious, outgoing person. I'm telling you, God can use you. God chooses worms. Second thing I'd like to say from Isaiah 41, not only God chooses worms, but God helps worms. Look in verse 10, if you would. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, God speaking, I will help thee. I'm glad for people's help, aren't you? I'm glad for people's help. I don't know where I'd be without it sometimes. Somebody just to say, you know, you're not alone. We're behind you. But God said, I'll help you.
Yes. Amen.
In verse 13, if you look there, he says, For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not. There he says it again, I will help thee. Verse 14, fear not, thou worm Jacob, and you men of Israel, I will help thee. God didn't just say it once, said it twice, three times, three words, I will help thee. I'll tell you, that's pretty good to know, isn't it?
Yeah, amen.
God said, and by the way, we need his help. I need his help. Our greatest liability is in the sense of our own ability. I mean, we the more we know how much we need him, the more qualified we are to serve him. God says, I'll help you. We need him. We need his comfort. We need his strength. We need his wisdom. We need his guidance in our life. We need his mercy. We need his fellowship. We need him in every way. We need his help. When the enemy attacks us, we need him. If you ever know what it's like to be under attack, spiritual attack, you say, well, I'm not a preacher. I'll tell you, people, you don't have to be a preacher to be under spiritual attack. You know what the greatest thing we need when we're under spiritual attack? We need him. Because I'm telling you, he's the captain of our salvation. Now, I'm no match for what the devil can do, but I'll tell you, he can't stand up for a moment to Almighty God. We need him when we're under spiritual. We need him when the way seems dark. And sometimes it seems dark. Sometimes it seems like there's no light at the end of the tunnel, and then we wonder if it's a train coming at us. We need God's help when we seem dark. We need him when friends forsake us. And they do sometimes. Sometimes that's one of the hardest things for a person to go through. One of the hardest things for a pastor to go through is when people that you love and have led to the Lord, people that have been faithful to you and you've been faithful to them, when they turn their back on you, we need him. I need his help. I mean, when God called us into this, when God got us into what we're doing, and by the way, I know, well, some of us here are preachers, but all of us, if you're saved, you've got a role, a place to serve. And I'm telling you, we need him when we don't know where else to turn. We need him. We need him when resources seem so limited. We need him when we're fearful. I don't like to admit when I'm fearful, but I am sometimes. I'm not talking about just being afraid of the dark. I'm just talking about being afraid of circumstances and afraid. When Peter's out there walking on water, he got afraid. He cried out, but you know what? He wasn't alone. Thank God for that. Sometimes we need fear. We need him when we get discouraged, when we feel intimidated. We need his help. As parents, we need his help. As husbands and wives, we need his help. As children, we need his help. As leaders in the church, we need his help. God helps worms. Aren't you glad about that?
Amen.
God helps worms. Three things I'd like to say about the way God helps worms. In verse 10, I already read it once or twice, but I'll read it again. It says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. So how does he help us? How could God help us? Number one, he gives us courage. In verse 10, he says, fear thou not. Don't be afraid. Sometimes I get fearful. You know, we live in a world that's becoming more and more anti-Christ. It's not getting easier building churches, at least where I'm from. Maybe it's not this way in the Blue Ridge Mountains, but where I'm from, it's not getting any easier. We get to wondering, we get concerned about our kids and our grandkids, those kind of things, wondering about people and what they're going to do. I'm telling you, here's one way he helps us. He gives us courage. Look what he says in verse 14, fear not. You know, the enemy wants to overwhelm us. He wants to make us doubt. And I don't want to burden you or bother you with this, but I'm just telling you, no matter where you are in any stage of your life, I can say this from experience, from my life, you get to doubting yourself. You know, you say, well, how can a person that's been serving the Lord for this long get to questioning themselves and doubting themselves? I'll tell you why. Because we're in a spiritual battle, brother.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
The enemy wants to cause us to doubt.
Right.
He wants to make us wonder, you know, am I effective? Can I really make a difference? I mean, am I making a difference? Do my life really count? But God helps us by giving us courage. He says, don't be afraid. God said that, don't be afraid. Yeah. I could stand up here all day and say, don't be afraid. It wouldn't mean much to you, but I'll tell you, when God says, don't be afraid, that's a mighty big help to me.
Yes, sir.
Look what it says in verse 13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. You believe God meant that when he said it? He said, I'll hold your hand. I tell you, I've thought about this so many times over the years. What is it the call from the doctor that says, I need you to come back in. There's something that seems a little irregular. Those kind of things can put fear in us.
Right.
Problems, circumstances, things can just drain our... I'm just telling you the truth. Sometimes my energy level can be zapped out of me in a New York second.
Right?
Right? But God says, I'll strengthen you. I will strengthen you. Look in verse 10. He says, I am with thee, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God said, I'll hold you up. You believe that?
Yes, sir.
God said, I'll hold you with the right hand of my righteousness. I like to read about God's strong right arm. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
Nobody ever arm wrestled with God in one. I'll hold you up when we're weak. When we need somebody to hold us up, he said, I will hold you up. I will help you. Look in verse 13. He says, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. Notice this. Saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Now, I'm not getting weird on you. God's never spoken to me in an audible voice. But aren't you glad for those times sometimes in the middle of the night when you don't know how the outcome is going to turn out and you're seeking God because he's the last resort you have, and somehow he says to you, he said, look what he said in verse 13, saying unto thee, fear not. Somebody just says, it's going to be okay.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
It's going to be okay. He strengthens worms, saying unto them. God helps worms.
Amen.
He gives us courage. He gives us strength. A last thing about the way he helps worms, look if you would in verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Notice what he says in verse 10 there. I have these words highlighted. I have a lot of words highlighted here, as a matter of fact. He says, for I am with thee. Think about that. You think God really means that?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I'm with thee. Everybody can't say that. I mean, God is everywhere. God fills the universe. But not everybody can say God's with us. But Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Amen.
You know, he is actually with us. I thank God for that. He accompanies worms. Paul said this, at my first answer, no man stood with me. All men forsook me. You know, if I said that, you'd say, well, you're exaggerating a little bit, but I don't think Paul was exaggerating. No man stood with me. All men forsook me. And then he said this, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me.
Praise God.
And strengthened me.
Amen.
Thank God that he helps worms. He accompanies worms. Hudson Taylor said this, all God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God, because they reckoned on his being with them. I want to read that again. All God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on his being with them.
Amen.
We're not alone.
Amen.
Aren't you glad about that?
Amen.
We're not alone.
Sometimes we feel alone. You feel that way sometimes. Sometimes as a pastor, I feel alone, maybe in a room full of people. Maybe the congregation's out there. I know you may not understand this. They're singing. People are out there, people that care about us. I'm sitting up here and I feel all alone. But I'm telling you, we're not alone. Amen. Because God said he's with us. Amen. And he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Thank God for that. God chooses worms. And God helps worms.
Amen.
Praise God for that. The last thing I'll mention, and I'll be brief, and that is God uses worms. Look with me, if you would, in verse 15. This is what he said to these worms. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shall make the hills as chaff. God said, I'll make thee. This is what God said. I will make thee something. I'll make you something you can never be without me.
Amen.
That's what God says. I'm gonna make you. We're a work in the making.
Amen.
God's still working on us. It's not about us becoming what we can be. It's about God helping us to become what he wants us to be. I will make thee. God's people are an instrument in his hands. Now, you're going to have to forgive me, but when I read things, my mind kind of visualizes them. And so in verse 15, you know, just let me have your imagination for a moment. Imagine this worm. I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small and make the hills as chaff. I mean, imagine this, a worm with teeth turning mountains into dust. You say, man, you're weird. I'm just thinking about it. That's how God uses these things to help us visualize, to help us understand. You say, well, that's ridiculous. A worm can't eat through mountains. That's not possible. Nor can a man walk on the water.
Right.
Nor can a man endure the flames of a fiery furnace. Nor could a teenage boy kill a 9-foot giant with a slingshot. Nor could a soldier kill single-handedly 800 men. Nor could a man with the jawbone of an ass kill 1,000 Philistines. What I'm saying is, no, they can't do that. But with God, they can. With God, we can do things we never would possibly think we could do. I mean, who could ever imagine some of the things that God could do? He's the one that enables us. This is what we need to remind ourselves from time to time. It's not about us. It's not about our ability. It's not about our personal equipping, and we ought to equip ourselves, but God is the one that equips us, enables us, and we're to be his instruments.
Amen.
But you say, well, I'm no one. God uses no ones. God uses worms. He closes the passage that I was reading anyway in verse 16 with these words. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord and shall glory in the Holy One of Israel. You know, worms know who gets the glory. I get more than a little weary sometimes of preachers letting us know how important they are. I'll tell you who's important. God is.
Amen.
A worm knows who deserves to get the glory. A worm remembers who gets the praise. I was thinking today, as I was pondering the message and thinking about the message, I was thinking about those days when I was a boy, and I would spend summers with my grandpa out in East Texas. And he liked to fish and hunt, and I learned to shoot quail and catch bass with my grandpa. But before we'd go fishing, we'd go dig some worms. And I don't know if you've ever done that or not, but the place we'd dig them is not the most attractive place. It was kind of where the septic tank ran out and the waste went out there, you know, but that's a great place to find worms. And I can still see, we'd find some of the biggest worms and dig those worms and go fishing. But I was thinking today about those worms. I mean, imagine a worm under that soil and hidden, unnoticed, unappreciated, just being a worm. I think in my mind, and I'm surely you could probably help me with this, but I'm thinking in my mind, what creature could be more insignificant than that worm? And I think about the day that God came looking for us. No one saw any value in our life. Most people given up on some of us. But there comes God into that life of worthlessness, that life of no value, hidden, unnoticed, unappreciated, incapable. And God says, I've got a plan for your life. God chooses worms. And God helps worms. And God uses worms. And you know what I think? I think we all qualify. No offense. Please don't be mad at me. But I think we all qualify. You know, I'm for education. May not sound like it, but I am. I'm for training. I'm for education. I'm for discipleship. I'm for helping people believe in themselves as they believe in God. But we need to remember tonight that all we are worms. Amen. But that doesn't mean we're not worth anything. It means that we find our worth in being rightly related to God. And obeying Him and following Him and letting Him help us. You know, there's never a time we ever come to the place that we've got it mastered. What a shame it would be. That's not the way it works. God does not work in our life this way, so that after so many trials and so many miles and so many years and so many problems and so many victories and so many tests, that somehow we get to the place that we don't need Him anymore and He can go help somebody else. That's not the way God works. God wants us to need Him every day. God wants us to need Him. Be aware of our lack of ability, our incapability, our absolutely, absolutely essential need for God. Now I want you to hear me tonight, and I'm going to close. You could be here tonight and you're not saved. And saying you're a worm does not mean that you have no value. I want to show you how to measure your worth. God sent His Son to die on the cross for your sins. Not just for a vague mass of sin of humanity, but for your personal sins. For every lie you've ever told, for every ungodly thought you've ever had, for every word you've ever used that was not pure. God died for every sin. In His own Son, He paid for them. That's how much God loves you. And tonight He wants to save you. And the only way you can get saved is to come to Him. We don't have a plan where if you'll jump through a bunch of hoops and be a good person, you can go to heaven. That's not in the Bible. Amen. Here's what's in the Bible. If we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in that God hath raised Him from the dead, put our faith in Jesus Christ, we can be saved. Right. You say, well, I'm not worthy. I understand. And by the way, that's how you ought to feel before you get saved.
Right. Amen.
It's been a long time, but I still have felt unworthy at the fact that God would care about me. But tonight, if you're not saved, you ought to come to Christ. You say, how do I do that? Well, talk to somebody. The preacher will be standing here in the moment. We're going to sing a song or have some music in a moment. And maybe that's you, young person or adult. You say, well, man, I don't even know if I know the Lord. But God's working in your heart. That's because He loves you and cares for you. You ought to come tonight and talk to the preacher and say, hey, I want to know more about this thing of being saved. Somebody would be glad to talk to you about that. Maybe you're tonight as a Christian, and tonight, in the circumstances of life, you found yourself wondering, does God really care, and who can help me? And I want to tell you, God wants to help you.
Amen.
He wants to hold your hand and walk with you, give you strength, give you help. God does.
Amen.
He promises it. Amen. Thank God for that. And as a preacher, I need it. I came to this service tonight thinking this. I may have already gone over this message a couple of times today, and I thought tonight, God, if nobody else needs this, I need it. It's just good to know that God uses even worms. Amen. Amen.